In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, we are a people of expectations. When we go to bed at night, we expect the sun to rise in the morning. When we are driving, we expect others to stop at the stop sign. We expect the church to be open on Sundays, the light on, and Mass to be celebrated. We have expectations for what is appropriate behavior for ourselves and others. Our days are full of expectations. They offer some predictability and order to our world, and lives. There are other expectations, however, they affect us more profoundly than the day-to-day expectations. Sometimes there are expectations of hope. Sometimes there are expectations of dread. Either way, they have the power to imprison us. Expectations of hope create a framework for how we think the world and life should be. They are often the ideals and dreams that carry us forward. They in some way describe our world vision and what we want. They are also expectations of dread. The things of life that we fear and want to avoid. Whenever we speak about wanting to simply get through the next day, the week, a particular aspect of our life, there is an underlying expectation of dread. The thing about expectations is that they pull us out of the present moment into a future we do not yet have, except as it exists in our head. Pretty soon, we begin to act and speak as if our expectations, either of hope, of dread, are the reality of our lives. We allow those expectations to shape our attitudes, our beliefs, and the way we relate to others. Those expectations even shape our image of who God is, where God can show up, and how God should act. If God does not meet our expectations, we are often too quick to question God rather than ourselves. We trust our expectations of what good should be doing more than we trust what God is actually doing. St. John the Baptist is a man of expectations. He is the one who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He expects a new kingdom and a new ruler. He expects wrath, fire, axes. He expects one who is more powerful. St. John's expectations have given him the confidence and ability to turn his back on the crooked religious establishment, to go to the desert, and to seek God in the wild and untamed places of life. Today, the Gospel offers a very different picture of St. John. Today, St. John is a prisoner. He's a prisoner with a question. Are you the one, or are we to wait for another? So, what happened? How did St. John get from the vast wilderness expanse to the confines of four walls? How did he go from being a prophet with all the answers to a prisoner with questions? At one level, it started when he criticized King Herod. "It's not lawful," St. John said, "for you to have your brother's wife." So, vexed, insulted, Herod arrested, bound, and imprisoned St. John the Baptist. That's the historical answer, but Holy Scripture always invites to see and listen more deeply, to discern the spiritual meaning. Dear faithful, Herod may have put St. John in jail, but St. John's own expectations have imprisoned him. Herod's jail, Herod's prison, the historical bricks and mortar, is an external symbol of the inner prison in which St. John now waits. It is interior prison of disappointment and disillusion, an experience we have all experienced in our lives. Disappointment and disillusion. St. John is confined by his own unmet expectations. St. John has heard about all that the Christ, the Messiah, is doing, but where is the axe? Where is the victory? Where is the fire? Where is the winnowing fork? Where is the wrath in the midst of cleansing lepers, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead? St. John sends a message. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? It is as if St. John is saying, you are the one. Is not there someone else, perhaps someone who better fits my expectations? Dear friends, St. John has been incarcerated by his own expectations of who the Messiah is and how the Messiah should act. His vision of the kingdom is too small. His expectations of the Messiah too narrow. That is the danger of holding our expectations too tightly. Whether they are expectations of hope or expectations of dread, our own expectations often blind us to the one who is coming, to the one who is more powerful. We imprison ourselves with a view of God, with a view of the kingdom, with a view of the world, with a view of our family lives, with a view of our lives. That is too small, too narrow. We try to confine God's work and life to our expectations. But that is not who God is and how God acts. We thought God would make our lives easy, and instead, He calls us to live more deeply. We wanted God to eliminate our suffering, and instead, discovered God standing with us in the midst of our pain. We expected God would make us number one, but He called us to identify with the least, the last, the lost. We wanted Him to make us strong, but He called us to discover His strength in our weakness. We hoped God would destroy our enemies, but He commanded us to pray for them. We wanted to be the leaders, but God told us to servants. Dear friends, every time one of our expectations is unmet, our prison walls crumble. The way has been prepared, and we must decide. We must decide, will we escape or simply rebuild the walls? It would be so much easier if Jesus would just come, do, and be as we expect. But He won't. He won't. He won't leave us in ourselves. No matter how clean, how comfortable, how safe they might seem to us, He loves us too much. There is a part of us, however, that persists, that insists with our expectations and our question. Yes or no? Are you the one who is coming? Or are we waiting for another? Just answer the question, Jesus. He does not do that for us or for St. John. A simple yes or no answer will not release us from our jails. We will escape only when we let go of our expectations. We will escape when we open our minds and hearts to bigger kingdom. We will escape when we trust God more than our ideas about God. The season of Advent is a season of jailbreaks. It is a season of escaping our expectations of God. It is a time in which the falling apart of our world is shown not to be the end of the world. When wrath, axes, and fire are about love and healing rather than punishment and destruction. When God is as quiet as a thief in the night. So, dear friends, I wonder, where have we imprisoned ourselves with expectations of hope or dread? In what ways do we work to rebuild our prison walls? How have we isolated ourselves from the love, the healing, the forgiveness, and life God offers? The door of your cell, the door of our cell is locked, but only from the inside. Open the door and flee the confines of our expectations. A new world awaits us. What will we see and hear? The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. That would be us. God is always coming to former inmates. So, dear friends, during Advent, we have to convert. Conversion is not just a minor course correction, as if all God wants of us is to eliminate a bad habit, like using foul language, or gossiping, or not praying every day. Conversion is much greater. Conversion is to adopt Christ's way of living as our own. Conversion means to hear Jesus saying to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.